Am I on? Yeah, there we go. Actually, a little hard to watch that. I auditioned for that group and I didn't make it, so. Don't go there. Yeah, no, awesome. What a sermon series that we're in, hey? What a blessed sermon series that we're in. It's awesome. A couple weeks ago, we had Bruce Gritter come up and speak. He's such an amazing speaker, hey? That was a good sermon. And then last week, how many of you were here for last week's message? Yeah, awesome. So you all got to hear my apprentice, Tony Campolo, speak. Yeah. He shows a lot of promise. I had to help him a little bit afterwards, talk him through some stuff. Talk about underwear in the services. But I'm really happy to be able to be here and preach. And I'm happy to be able to preach on this particular series because a few months ago, probably about 4 or 5 months ago, I was speaking with Nathan and I pitched him this idea of a sermon series on pouring in and pouring out. And I wanted to have the sermon series with the idea that we first go to the source of life to get poured into from him and from his presence. And then out of that space of having been poured into by our God, by our maker, by our king, go out from that space and pour out as a result of that. So that's our topic for this morning, how to be poured into and then pour out. And we're going to be using two of my favorite passages from Scripture to kind of talk about this concept of pouring in and pouring out. And those two passages that we're going to be using today is out of Psalms 1 and John 15. But before we get into that, I think it's really important that we address something that I'm going to call a pour-in blocker. A pour-in blocker. So we have to ask ourselves, what is the point of God pouring into us? What is the point of God pouring out into his children, into us, if we have something that's blocking his outpouring into us? So I love this image here. This is the image that I have of what I think about when God pours into his children, when we have our hands open to him, surrender to him. His outpouring comes in, and we're filled up to the top. And out of that pouring in, it's not as if we have to tilt our cup to pour out. It's just out of the overflow of what God gives to us. And then I thought to myself, well, what happens when we have something blocking that cup or that vessel? His outpouring doesn't come in. See, the truth is we can get preoccupied with the things of this life. We can get so preoccupied with the things of this life and we can forget to get back to the very source of our purpose and our identity. Ever since coming to Canada, I noticed that our culture is one of busyness. Nearly every conversation that I've gone into with Christians and non-Christians alike, when I ask them how they're doing, after they say good or fine or so-so, what do you think the most common answer is? Busy. I grew up in Costa Rica, then I lived in Australia for 6 years, very chill, laid-back culture, and then we lived in India for a year and a half before Canada, and that section of India where we lived was very laid-back. When we came to Canada, that answer, and even in Spanish, we don't have the word busy. That is not a word in our dictionary. We don't actually have that word. We have occupied, but we don't have busy. So when we came here and people kept saying busy, it's like, hey, how you doing? Oh, doing great. Yeah, just busy. How you doing? Yeah, doing pretty good. Just busy, a lot going on. Or how you doing? Oh man, things are a bit rough. It's just so jam-packed these days. I'm so busy. This is constantly the answer that you get when you ask people. It's almost always the answer. Or this dynamic that I found was hilarious. It's happened to me on a number of occasions, but it's the funniest thing. So I was speaking with another pastor friend of mine, and pastors are probably really guilty of this themselves in a lot of ways, but talking to another pastor friend of mine from another church, a while back ago, and I asked him, I said, hey, we should go and get coffee sometime. He said, absolutely, I'd love to do that. Let's grab coffee sometime. My September, October, November is pretty jam-packed, and December, hey, what does your January look like? What does my January look like? Yeah, sorry, the January doesn't work. I can't spare 30 minutes in 30 days. Sorry. But that kind of response isn't uncommon, is it? I'm sure many, many of you have had that exact same thing happen. Hey, we should connect. Yeah, sure, totally. How does the summer sound? And the reality is this is what happens in most of our lives. We are so busy. We have so many things happening, and it prevents us from being able to make some of those connections. What I've noticed is it's almost as if we as a culture are basing our value on our busyness. If I have all these things I'm involved with, I must be doing well. And so I must be valuable. It's almost a thought process that comes in. And most of the times, often the things that we find ourselves involved with and busy with are good things. Work, school, committees, boards, meetings, service, family, friends, kids, extracurricular activity, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And while these things that we find ourselves preoccupied with are good, they're mostly good things, we need to step back and reflect on our priorities and ask ourselves, what is my priority and what is leading my life? If these things are not checked, they become pour-in blockers. Anything that is a priority above the Lord and our relationship with the Lord becomes a blocker of his outpouring in our lives. I'm not talking about an issue of salvation here. I'm not talking about being removed from relationship with God. What I'm talking about is a fresh, daily outpouring from the Father of what he wants to speak to you, speak to us in a scenario where he says, this is what I have for you today. It's a fresh outpouring. When we're not being poured into God on a daily basis, we tend to begin to rely on something old from our faith to keep us going. Or we tend to rely on someone else's revelation, what they heard from God speak to them as a part of our own faith walk. And that's not what God wants for us. He wants to individually pour out to each one of us so that we have that fresh outpouring from him. And I'm guilty of this myself. I found I was allowing the busyness of life and all these other priorities and things to become the first and the foremost. I kept having all these musts and have-tos in my life of people to meet with and studies to prepare and meetings to attend to. And the list kept going on and on and on of these musts and have-tos. They kept bumping up the priority list. And little by little, those things ended up getting my time, my attention, my focus. And eventually it became priority, number one. And then rather than walking into those times, those quiet times with Jesus, into those times where I was seeking God for strength and for identity and his purpose in my life and for that fresh outpouring, I walked into those times as if I was accomplishing a task, checking off a box. Okay, yep, I've read my Bible and I've prayed. It's good. Okay, now on to the real priorities. And while I didn't mean this in my heart and I didn't intentionally decide this in my mind, it was something that was happening as a result of busyness in my life. Finally, as I reflected on myself and where I was with the Father, I didn't like the result of having something else be at the forefront of my life in regards to busyness. Thankfully, God is gracious, and he spoke into my life. Last September, as I was reading, I found myself in Psalms 1. And as I read it, I felt like the Lord prompting me. I felt like the Lord said, no, I want you to stay here for a moment. I want you to pay attention. This is our passage for this morning, and I'll read. You can follow along. Blessed is man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. As I read this passage, God's word stirred in my heart. I thought about myself and I reflected about my relationship with God at the time, and I said to myself, I'm not looking like that tree. I said to myself, I want to look like that tree. I want my roots to go deep into that stream. I want to produce fruit. I don't want to wither, and I want to prosper for his sake. But I was feeling that disconnect. And then as I read it, the main point surfaced to me. His delight was in the law of the Lord. He meditates on his word day and night. I felt like God showed me that I was not delighting in his word. I was going into Bible reading time again, task-oriented, like crossing off this list. Oh yeah, I've read through a chunk of the Bible in the last few months. Awesome. But of what value? I wasn't meditating on his word day and night. I wasn't carrying the word of God through my day and saying, God, how do you want me to use this word that you gave me this morning from that outpouring? How can I speak into someone else's life as a result of what you spoke to me? What is it that you want to speak through this word? As a result of this time with Jesus, I decided that before anything else in the morning, and before anything else in the evening, I would spend time in the word of God. And then throughout the day, meditating on that word and including it in my everyday life, making sure that it was on the forefront of my mind and not in the back somewhere behind all the other busyness. This wasn't about legalism. This wasn't about I have to in order to. This was a conviction that I felt, and I was happy to do it. In order to do that, I needed to cut out some other things. I had to address some things in my life that I was recognizing was blocking God's outpouring into my life. I had to say no to some things to say yes to deeper relationship with Jesus. Things that I enjoyed. I'm a full-on Man United English soccer fan addict. Fanatic. So I had to decide, okay, I don't need to know all the updates. I don't need to know the injury list, the transfer market. I don't need to know all these things about who we're playing and all this stuff. I don't need a PVR and watch the game later and, you know, all this stuff. So no, I had to cut that out. Things that I thought needed to happen, checking my email first thing in the morning, checking my phone to make sure things were getting done and all that. I had to make sure I had to back off. Things that were easy to do, more comfortable, and even more appealing, like at the end of a long day, turning on the TV and just letting go. And it wasn't easy, and I wasn't perfect on it. I dropped the ball many a times. But the amazing thing happened was I was able to see immediate result from this. For example, usually at the end of a long day, after putting the kids to bed or after finishing with a meeting or after preparing for the following day, Nicole and I are exhausted, we're tired, and it's just so much easier just to fire on a TV show before the end of the night and then call it a night. And because of that, we weren't spending as much quality time as we wanted to. We weren't spending as much quality time as we felt was necessary for us. But now we were reading our Bible first in the evening before anything else. Nothing else had priority. First in the evening, we were reading our Bibles together. And as a result of that, we would talk more together. We would pray more together. And then naturally, without having boxed off a time, our marriage became a priority. I think it's funny, as Nicole and I prioritized our personal relationship with God, i.e. more time somewhere else, our marriage relationship got prioritized on its own. And it doesn't even add up. It's like, hey, Nicole, we should spend more time together talking, but shh, go away. I'm reading my Bible, right? As I went through each day, my focus became less and less about me and more about his kingdom. I became less concerned about accomplishing tasks and ticking off boxes and more Christ-centered. I was still working hard to get things done and all that, but I had a new mindset that I carried into that day. And this is what Jesus wants and desires for each one of us. This is what he wants for each one of us. He wants us to go to him for our source of life, for our source of strength, for our source of calling, and then walk out of that space into our days. In order that we look like the tree in Psalm 1, prosperous, fruit-giving, doesn't wither. And God doesn't want us to do that because he's a controlling God, but because he knows that when we go into that time with him, our hearts are aligned with his. When we're in a close relationship with him, he knows that we don't allow our busyness to be what leads us. For us as Christians, we sometimes take on this task-oriented and busy mindset into our walk with God. We sometimes think, if I do this, and if I do that, and if I walk through this process of ticking off these things, God will love me, and we'll be good. For us in this task-oriented, busy, valuing culture, we need to understand that the depths of our roots are not as a result of our church attendance, while church attendance is good. The depths of our roots are not as a result of how much we know about God, while it's good to know about who God is. The depths of our roots are not as a result of how much service we do for God, and yet service is good. The depths of our roots are as a result of our intimacy with God. The depths of our roots are as a result of how deep we go into that stream of life and where we find the source of our strength, calling, purpose, and identity. Then out of that relationship with the Father, being poured into from him and his heart for us, our church engagement becomes what he intends it to be, as a healthy part of the body of Christ. Our knowledge of him becomes a heart knowledge, which turns into wisdom. And our service of him comes out of an outpouring of what he's poured into us from that image that we have, and then overflows into what he desires. Not what we think we should be doing, but what he desires for us. Out of that relationship is where our roots go deep, and we begin to look like that tree. Jesus himself uses the same example. Jesus himself uses this same example that the psalmist used in Psalms 1 to instruct us on the importance of being aligned with the Father. And that's in John 15. He gives us this description or this image of this vine. He says, I'm the vine. My Father is a true gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, right? He gives us this amazing picture of what it looks like to be connected and rooted in the Father. In John 15, Jesus says, abide in me and I'll abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In order to be in the vine, which is our source of life, from where we produce fruit, we need to abide. Some translations say remain here, but I find that abide captures this sentiment the best. What does it mean to abide? Does it mean to read your Bible once in the morning and once at night? Does it mean to do things for God or the amount of time that we spend engaged in church activities? No. Abide is this deep intimacy with God. And I find that the description or the definition of the word abide itself is very instructive. So I want to give it to us this morning. Merriam-Webster defines abide as to remain fixed, to continue in a place, and to accept without objection. These are the definitions. I want to give us a little basis on this as well. To remain fixed. When I think about to remain fixed, it gives me this image of this vine. To remain fixed into the vine, which is our source of life, and that's how you bear fruit, rooted in him. And then to continue in a place. When I think about this, I think about my relationship with God. To continue in a place. It's just as if I'm continuing a place of relationship with God as I walk through my day. But I carry out and I go into my everyday, but I continue in a place of relationship with him. Abide. Abide also means to accept without objection. To accept without objection. It's to say, yes, Lord, even when it's hard. I trust you. Have your way. Do it the way that you seem best. Abiding is communing with him. It's listening to him. It's speaking with him, sharing your heart, and it's setting aside time one-on-one to say nothing else is more important. This is where you go as a son, as a daughter, with your heavenly Father, with your Creator, and with your Maker to hear from him. So that as we walk out of the space of relationship with him, our eyes are set on Jesus and not on the things of this world that are distracting, or on our own desires which are fleeting, or on what we think our will is, which is imperfect. Not only did Jesus speak these words, but he showed us this through his life. He showed us this in his life. He showed us this in his walk on earth. There are many examples throughout the Gospels of Jesus showing this, but I want to use one example. It's out of Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Very early in the morning. For many of us, these are very painful words. Very early in the morning. But Jesus got up very early in the morning because he wanted to connect with his Father before anything else. He wanted to give his Father the first fruits, and he wanted to make sure that before anything else, that he was hearing first from his Father and walking out from a place of relationship with him. This was so important to Jesus. This was so important for Jesus. This was not secondary. This was not after he had breakfast. This was not after he found time later on in the day when it was convenient. This was first, so he could go and be centered in his Father, be realigned with his Father's will for him, even though it was very difficult, and be poured into by his Heavenly Father. So why would he need to do that? Because just like us today in our culture, just like us in our busy, task-oriented society, Jesus knew that there'd be countless things trying to pull him away from the Father's will for him, the Father's plan for him, and his calling. And he wanted to make sure that he was completely lined up with the Father first, so that as he walked out in his day, nothing else was first. Nothing else was speaking. And I don't know about you, but I've woke up in the morning with great intentions of reading my Bible and spending time with the Lord. And then, as a result, most of the times of checking my phone, my mind has gone somewhere else. Good or bad. For the rest of the day, I began my, rather than spending time in the Word and in his call for me for that day, I allowed something else to distract and get my attention. And then I thought about that for the rest of the day, and that was my priority, and that became where I was going. Then we see in this passage, Jesus going off to a solitary place. Why a solitary place? Jesus wanted and needed to be alone with the Father first. No one else, just him. No other requests, no other distractions, no other input from someone else saying what they think that Jesus should do. And this is the example that he sets for each one of his disciples, which is us. This call to abide is also a call to reflect. In order to abide, we need to say yes to God. We need to allow him to cut off some of the branches in us that aren't bearing any fruit. This takes us back to the definition of abide, to accept without objection. Do what you believe is best in my life, God. In John 15, Jesus says, "The Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful." So even if we're in right relationship with God, God is still pruning us because he wants us to be more fruitful. He continues to prune us, and pruning hurts. Pruning doesn't, it's not easy. Pruning isn't always fun. But pruning for you might bring about this image of like God just with a machete, just hacking off branches. But I want to encourage you, that's not how God prunes. God sees something in our life that's not producing fruit, and he doesn't take a machete at it and lop it off. He just touches something, and then all of a sudden we go, yeah. Yeah, okay, I know that that's where you're asking of me. He just nudges something in our lives and says, this is not good for you. This is not what I want for you. It's not this lopping off mentality. Sometimes it means we have to say no to things that we enjoy. Sometimes it means doing things differently than we've done our entire life. Sometimes it means waking up very early in the morning, even though those are painful words. This is where we personally as individuals need to ask ourselves, is God, is Jesus really Lord of my life? When we surrender, when we allow him to do his work, that is when he will cause us to produce fruit the way that he desires and that he sees fit. Jesus was able to live out his identity and his purpose on this earth because he found his identity and his purpose in God alone. Jesus was able to live out his identity and his purpose on earth because he found his identity and his purpose in God alone. This is what he modeled to us, and this is how we as disciples of Christ can be poured into and live out our identity and our purpose for this life. And I want to finish by sharing a brief practical application for what a quiet time can look like. And I know for some of you, this is going to be very basic, and you're going to say, well, thanks, Captain Obvious, reading my Bible in the morning. Who would have thought? If that's you, you should pray for more patience. Some of you may already have consistent times with the Father. If that's the case, awesome. Continue on. But ask yourself with the Lord, you and the Father, say, is this still where you have me? Is this still what you're asking of me? Are you wanting to take me deeper? And what does that look like? And let him lead. Some of you may not have these times with the Father, and some of you in the past have had these but don't currently have them. If that's the case for you, don't beat yourself up. Don't get down on yourself. If you start hearing voices and words like you're a failure and you tried this before and you failed and if you try again, you're going to fail again, don't listen to that. That's not the voice of your Father. There's no condemnation. God gives conviction, not condemnation. He doesn't point at you and say, you, wrong. That's not it. That's not his voice. The truth is that God loves you so much and he so desperately wants relationship with you that he sent his Son. And he poured out all of our sin upon his Son. And all of the anger that we might think about him towards us, he poured that out on Jesus when he died on the cross for us. So all of his anger is poured out. It's done. It's been accomplished. There's no longer any more anger towards us for our disobedience. It's been accomplished. He did that so that you and I today can have relationship with him now, right now. Regardless of where you are in your personal walk and in your abiding. So I'm going to give us some practical suggestions. Again, these are not the word of God. This is not must do. This is not out of legalism or ritualism, but these are proven to be beneficial, and it's about your relationship with God and how you walk these out. But I'm going to give us just some things and some helpful things that I've found. So I'm going to give us the when, the where, and the what. The when, I'm going to call this in the morning. In the morning. Why in the morning? Because it's the beginning of your day, before anything else. You might be a shift worker, so you might have shifts at 7 p.m. or at 4 a.m. In the morning for you might be 5 p.m. before your shift at night. And in the morning for you at the beginning of your day might be at 2 a.m. when you're waking up. And for some of us, that might be very, very, very difficult. And I want us to ask ourselves the questions. Don't come up and talk to me about this. I don't want to hear it from you. Ask yourself this question. Is it a cannot or is it a will not? Because I've done the cannot a whole bunch, but it was actually a will not. I cannot do that. Cannot. But it was a will not. Now, for some of you, in the season of your life or a particular thing that's going on in your life, it's a cannot, and that's what it is. But you and God, not you and somebody else, it's you and God, okay? In the morning, because it's your first fruits or the beginning of your day, the first fruits, we give God our first fruits. We don't give him our seconds. The Bible calls us to give of our tithes, the first fruits of our tithes. That's not just our money, it's our time. And I would venture to say that our time is more valuable than our money. And also at the beginning of the morning, so that you start off your day from a perspective of being in his word and nothing else. And in his, not just his word, but his word, his outpouring. Where? Be alone with God. If you can find a consistent place where you're by yourself and no one else, amazing, do it. But if you can't, find something where you can be alone with God. And this is the only other thing I'll say about where. You're not alone if you have your phone. Please, youth and young adults, throw those away. You are not alone if you have your phone. Get this paper thing. It's crazy. It goes flippity-flip. It doesn't go... Okay? You're not alone if you have your phone. Our phones are these distracting devices. They might have all kinds of amazing reading structures and all this stuff, and it's amazing. You can use it throughout your day. But when you're relationship time with God and you're abiding with God, don't let something else distract you from what he wants to speak to you. There's tons of studies done on what your phone does, and I'm not going to get into that because I'm not that smart. So you just read it for yourself. Someone else did the studies there. Where? Alone. What? What do we do in that time? So pray. Obviously, yes, pray. Open up your time honestly with God. Say, if you get up early in the morning and you're struggling, you're like, Lord, I'm tired. This is hard. Don't want to do this. Be honest. He already knows our hearts. He already knows what you're thinking. Pray. Invite the Lord into that time. Say, Lord, have your way in this time. You can use the Lord's Prayer as a platform for your prayers. Ask for strength. Commit your day to him. Surrender anything. Ask for forgiveness. Whatever it might be, spend that time. But I want to encourage you in this first time of prayer, remove the petitions, right? Because it's about me. Lord, please help me with this. Please help me with that. Please be with them. Remove that time. Say, I invite you to be in this presence with me. I want to be with you. Would you please be with me? Let me know that you're here with me. Open your word then. Read. Open the word of God. Anywhere, Gospels, Epistles, Old Testament, anything, spend time. But before you get into this and before you start reading from a place of here, start from here and say, Holy Spirit, I know that this word is active and alive. So would you please come and speak through this word into me and allow it to resonate deep within my soul and not just within my mind. Next, write. Have a journal. Some of you say, well, I don't have a journal. I'm not a diary. Like, dear diary, this happened today. That's not what I'm asking of you. Have a journal there so that when you read from the word and something comes out, if God gives you something, write it down. There's only so much an underline of a passage can do a year from now. Let the Lord use this time, this personal time with you to write it down. I also find that when I write some things down, it's almost as if it sticks. Maybe I have an anxiety or burden. I write it down and it stays. Write it down. Then listen. After you've gone through that time, spend time listening. This might be the most difficult thing for all of us to do, and just set aside a time where you say 60 seconds after I've let everything else go, even just 60 seconds of silence, say, Lord, is there something that you want to say? Speak, your servant's listening. And be quiet and listen. And if he gives you something, if he prompts you, write it down. Let him speak his words to you. I have some reference here. I'm not going to go into each of the references, but they're just helpful. Next step, Thanksgiving. Spend time thanking God. The reason why I'm including this, and I feel like it's important for all of us, is because it's a perspective shifter, right? I said in the beginning, don't start your prayers with petitions. I find that if I spend 2 or 3 minutes just thanking God, even sometimes I have to pull them out of a hat, like, thank you, God, for the pair of shoes that I have. You know, I'm just trying to do something, even if I'm having a hard day. What happens in Thanksgiving is it shifts my perspective. So all this list of petitions that I have, as I thank God, they start doing this. Like, they just get diminished and diminished, and then I start saying, man, thank you, God, that you're a provider. Thank you, God, that you are in control. Thank you, God, that you are bigger than the issues that I have. Thank you, God, that you already know everything that's on my list. Thanksgiving. Lastly, meditate and act, and they're together because we have to chew on this. Continue in a place of relationship with God and abiding, and we chew on it and we process it, and from that place you act. What is it that you want to speak to me today? Oh, that passage out of Matthew 7, not to judge. You're right, I should not judge. I'm sorry for judging that person, Lord. And I speak words of affirmation over that person, encouragement, whatever it might be. Starting off your day like this creates a platform for the Lord to work in your life, saying, God, have your way in my life and not my way. Little by little, then we begin to carry his perspective into each one of our days. So lastly, you might be asking yourself, where is the pour out aspect of this message? Pour in, pour out. This is the beauty of relationship with God and being poured into by him. We're all created uniquely with different purposes and design. We all make up different parts of the body. Through our being with the Father, the doing will come. Through our being with the Father, the doing will come. Out of the space of being poured into, naturally, he prioritizes the things that he desires, and he'll rise them to the surface in our life. And we'll pour out from a place of his desire for us, and not what we think or what others think. You might go and you might build homes for Habitat for Humanity. You might go and plant churches. You might pour out through the raising of your children. You might pour out through your businesses and your practices. You might pour out through evangelism, but only your creator and your maker can tell you where you're pouring in, pouring out to from that pouring in time. Our abiding in God with our roots deep in the stream of living water is a place that we're going to produce good fruit. Jesus gives us the why at the end of this passage. And he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It's to my Father's glory that you produce fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let's continue to take steps in our faith in order to reflect Jesus in our lives and bear fruit. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. They have a new song that they're going to be playing for you. And I want to invite you into a time of reflection. I want to invite you in a time of asking you and the Father, am I allowing the busyness of my life to dictate, to lead, to control where I'm going and what I'm doing? Is there anything in my life that has priority or lordship above you, Jesus? And as the song is playing, I want you to stand, and I want to ask that you would extend your hands or just hold your hands open like this as a place of surrender. Sometimes physically we can help ourselves get into an understanding of what it is to say, I surrender to you. So if you would hold your hands out like this and just ask the Lord that question. Is there anything that you have that I'm holding on to that's not right? Is there anything that you are wanting to speak? And then as he speaks those things to you, just let them go. Just let them go. Say, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender to your will. I surrender and I say, have your way in my life, please. Then I want to encourage all of us to take time aside to prayerfully consider what it looks like to begin to take steps into a deeper abiding. We can always enter into a deeper abiding. It's not about doing. It's not about getting things done, but about learning what it is to be more and more in that space of abiding in order that we pour into, and from that space we pour out. All right, won't you stand with me?